This is only a game. I'm Bill Littlefield.
I mean, if you have Mac and goal, like, you gotta work hard still, but you can trust him that he's yelling at you, like, to get in the right position and making sure your team doesn't give up easy goals.
Quinn Murphy, a 13-year-old soccer player, knows the value of a good goalkeeper. So did Vladimir Nabokov. He once wrote, "The goalkeeper is the lone eagle, the last defender, less the keeper of a goal than the keeper of our dreams." Nabokov didn't have Mac Brady in mind, not literally at least. He was dead long before Mac was born. But hold what Mr. Nabokov said in mind anyway, okay? Just humor me. Anyway, according to Mac's mother, Elizabeth Brady, the love of soccer came early to her son.
He has an older sister, Izzy, who's about 6 years older than he is. And we were actually taking Izzy to a soccer summer camp, but he was too young. And when we got there, Izzy decided, "I'm not sure this is for me." And he was standing there in the midst of, you know, the soccer camp, and he, I think he was probably two. And he was like, "I will stay. I will stay. I'll go in her place." This is something he loved, and he would be in the backyard and with his soccer ball and, you know, always had his ball with him. So we just went with his energy.
Mac's energy sometimes complicated things for his family, such as when everybody was expected at a wedding that conflicted with the schedule of the State College Celtics, the youth soccer team in Pennsylvania for which Mac, then seven, was playing.
Suddenly you're like, wait a minute, is soccer taking over our lives? Shouldn't he be at the family wedding? And yet he was so sincere about needing to be in Pittsburgh with his team. I wrestled with this for a couple weeks, and Mac would kind of come up to me and say, "Shavi, made a decision yet? I need to be with my team." We said, "Okay, you go." And he carpooled with, you know, one of the other family teams, and we were at the wedding, and then there was this reception, getting just text after text after text, you know, play by play of what was happening. And Mac just emerged that day, just came into his own, I think. And we've often mused on the fact that we weren't there, but we honored him.
And, of course, thanks to contemporary technology, you were sort of there because your phone kept pinging.
Absolutely. We were, you know, the annoying relatives at the reception with our phone under the table.
Mac didn't just love soccer. Unlike almost every other small child crazy about that game, Mac fell in love with goaltending. His dad, Christian Brady, a former water polo goalie, was pleased.
"I tried my best and failed many times to be a quiet parent on the sideline, but at home we would work a little bit on angles and mindset. I would talk with him, you know, 5, 6 years old, about only worry about the balls in front of you, don't worry about the balls behind you, and so forth. And for whatever reason, he liked being responsible for the defense of his goal. He liked being back there for his teammates. I once taught him to tell your players where the ball is and tell them to cover weak side. And next thing I know in the game, you hear, "Weak, weak, weak."
Because Christian Brady is a professor and former dean at Penn State University, and because his job has acquainted him with the men's soccer coach there and lots of the players, Christian and Mac went to lots of Penn State soccer games together. There, Mac studied goalkeeping at the college level.
It always amazed me, actually, how the very next game he would play, I would see something that one of our Penn State keepers had done that Mac was now incorporating in his own play, which is remarkable because half the time I'd be watching the game intently and he'd be talking with his buddies or doing something else, but he was clearly paying attention at some point.
According to one of Mac's teammates, John Kobus, clutch didn't begin to describe Mac's play. Kobus says Mac could be funny, even goofy, but every time you needed a save, it just didn't get past him. Mac's plan was to play one day at Penn State. Excellence there would put him on the U.S. national team's radar, and he hoped he'd also gain the attention of his favorite pro team, Real Madrid. Childhood is for dreaming. In the aftermath of Christmas 2012, it all seemed possible for an 8-year-old goalkeeper. And then, after a day of sledding and playing in the snow, Mac started to run a fever. Neither of his parents thought it was serious. One of Mac's pals had some flu symptoms and recovered overnight. But Elizabeth and Christian called the doctor just to be safe.
So they said, just call us back tomorrow morning if he still has a fever. So 7:38 in the morning on New Year's Eve morning, call them. And they said, yeah, okay, bring him in at 4:30 this afternoon. So then I took him into the doctor's and, you know, in hindsight, I realized that the first physician there, he clearly realized something more was wrong. And Bill, I'll do my best on details here. But within about 45 minutes, he said, you really need to take Mac to the ER. I'm going to call over. I'll get there, I promise. So so they bring him into the ER. You know, they didn't really know what was going on. They were trying to do blood work and so forth. And after a few hours, they said, there's just not much that we can do here. We need to life flight him to a hospital. So they bundled him up on the stretcher, and the helicopter crew came and got him. We prayed with him, and we stood outside and watched the helicopter take off. I took a video because I knew he'd want to see the helicopter he'd been in.
Mac never would see the video. He died in the helicopter as his parents were driving from State College to Hershey.
When he wasn't in the intensive care unit, I had a hunch that things weren't good, and the chaplain came and met us and took us to the quiet room. And I told Elizabeth, I said, he's gone. And she said, how do you know? And I'm trained as an Episcopal priest and ordained, and I said, they don't bring the chaplain to the quiet room when things are going well.
Sepsis had shut down Mac's organs so quickly that even the doctors who saw him in State College had no chance to save him. Christian remembered later that one doctor had told him it could be like somebody striking a match in a dry forest. Once she'd absorbed the initial shock, Elizabeth Brady began thinking about Mac's 15-year-old sister, who'd stayed home while her parents had made the drive to Hershey.
I said to the chaplain, what do I do? Do I call Izzy? Or what do I do? And she said, no, go to her. So we went to her friend's house and banged on the doors. Everyone was sleeping. And finally, her friend's father came down and answered the door. And he said, I'm sorry to wake you, but we just need to get Izzy. And so we were able to kind of rouse her and bring her down and tell her in person, you know. And I think about that because later she remembered that was important to her, you know.
With Izzy, Christian and Elizabeth mourned Mac's death, and then almost without a pause, they celebrated his life. They were determined to help Mac's teammates deal with the loss of their pal, their goalkeeper. Penn State coach Bob Warming remembers hearing Christian's concerns about the kids.
And a lot of them obviously were very sad and in shock in some ways. And some of them thought they didn't know if they wanted to play soccer again, just because they associated soccer with Mac.
Christian Brady's concern led to the creation of an annual clinic for Mac's teammates and other soccer players in the community. Members of the Penn State varsity and a couple of players who'd graduated, one of whom was playing professional soccer, staged a day to celebrate Mac and his love for the game.
Well, the very first clinic was only, gosh, like not even 2 weeks after Mac died. And I think initially there's such an energy to be there, and there was some comfort, I think, in coming together and seeing the boys out there playing. And of course, Mac should have been there. I mean, it's so poignant all the time. But I think that's the kind of that flip side, and always the both and, is that being isolated from that or stepping away from something that Mac loved, I don't think that would have been healthy for anyone, you know? And so I think by emerging, you know, and kind of embracing and stepping back into the energy of it all was his healing, certainly for us, but I think healing for everybody.
the Brady family established a fund to benefit the recruiting and training of future goalkeepers at Penn State, and the Penn State team decided that one game each year should be designated the Mac Brady game. As it happens, Penn State has never lost the Mac Brady game, and from time to time that game has featured an inexplicable moment, at least according to Christian Brady.
Year before last, I'm pretty sure it was Indiana that we played. We were about 14 minutes in, and of course it was a horrible call, a penalty kick, because it was against my team. We thought this is not a good start. Matt Bersano was in the goal for us, and they get on the line, player comes up to the spot, Matt dives to the left, gets his left hand on the ball, blocks it, and they win 1-0 by the end of the game. I think that was the final score. And Coach Warming, he turned around after that penalty stop and hugged me so tight I lost all breath, and he said, "Mac, that's all Mac." It's a pretty good feeling, isn't it?
Thanks to the love and determination of Mac's parents and of various people, young and old, whom he touched during his short life, all sorts of grand and surprising things have come about in the wake of that life. And Elizabeth Brady has found in these positive developments and more a capacity for serenity.
I would much rather be standing in the sidelines bundled up in a sweatshirt watching Mac, you know. But that wasn't our choice. So Mac's legacy, in a sense, with his friends and everything, is one of energy and pride and excitement instead of our grief, you know, as it should be.
Elizabeth Brady doesn't deny the grief. "We will always be the parents of two children," she told me. She's not someone who feels one can get over the death of a child. "You learn to carry it," she says, "and in creating ways to sustain the enthusiasm they treasured in their son and to celebrate their love for him to the benefit of many others, she and her family have carried it, and they've done so much more." You're listening to Only a Game from NPR.